This is Cashing Out with your host, Dustin Sweetelson, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Final hour here. I am Doug Kazarian, filling in for Dustin tonight and tomorrow. He'll be back in the studio on Monday. We are tracking everything going on as we are in live downtown Las Vegas at the Circa Resort and Casino. Two main sporting events going on. UFC main event. We are in round three. Islam Makhachev has dominated the first two rounds. Live line, minus 950, favorite over Ian Garry. So Gary's got to do something more than just get surviving each round. So that's what's going on there. The Rangers have come back. They lead 4-3 right now through eight in West Sacramento over the Athletics. They're 2.5 games back in the division in the AL West. So they lost 3 of 4 against Anaheim. And they lost the opener of the series last night to the Athletics. So they really certainly need this game. So things bode well with the three runs in the sixth to take the 4-3 lead. They have three more outs to go and their own ups in the ninth. This time of year, you know what's going on. Week zero of college football is almost here, and the NFL regular season is going to be right behind it. Now's the time to get your edge with VSiN Pro. Join VSiN Pro today and get instant access for both our college football and NFL betting guides, packed with team previews, power ratings, proven betting systems, and best bets from VSiN's top analysts. And that's just the start. You'll also get daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, plus 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Start today for just $9.99 or save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Sign up now at vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe. And we're rejoined now by Aaron Moore, the Progressive Guest Line, also known as the Professor. Aaron, you got some plays in the NFL guide as well. Now, the market's moved, so not all the stuff you maybe, suggest at this current market, but what's something that hasn't moved that much or not at all that you still are high on for the upcoming NFL season that we didn't cover a few minutes ago?
Well, let's connect it with New Orleans, Doug. I think New Orleans, and a lot of people do, I think New Orleans is one of those teams in the NFC South that can have a good year. So what I have in the guide is I took Tyler Shuck's passing total under. And the reason why I'm going to take his passing total under when I think the Saints are going to have a pretty decent year is his total was basically just a 17 game. His total coming into this year was just basically a 17 game average to what he did last year. But Shuck, the last three games of the season, had big games against the Jets, against Tennessee, and Atlanta, another team that were three poor teams. He kind of chucked it around, did well. So I think his total is a little bit inflated. And then if you look, if New Orleans is not just throwing it around with a rookie quarterback, that they're going to be looking to win games, that I think Shuck is just not going to be passing it as much as he did last year. So I'm going to take his passing total under. And correlating that with, I like Kellen Moore 12-1 to win Coach of the Year. And when we look at Coach of the Year and we try to handicap it, you want to identify that team that's supposed to surprise, take a big leap. Maybe the previous year they weren't in the playoffs, they make the playoffs. So I think a lot of those underlining factors work in Kellen Moore's favor here. Now the Saints have to go out and win these games. And if they do, I think Moore is going to be in their Coach of the Year pretty much the entire way.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's a very popular pick among sharp bettors is New Orleans to go from sort of worst to first. I mean, they were so bad last year with Spencer Rattler, but once they replaced Rattler with Shuck, they were certainly good. They flirted with a late run, and I think Kellen Moore certainly showed his head coaching chops and play calling, you know, going back to Dallas as well. I think they're certainly a team on the come, so to speak, and that's something I back. And my favorite win total is somewhat correlated to that. It's within the division in the NFC South. It's Atlanta. This Falcons team, I understand why people might get excited, but 7.5 wins in my eyes is just not happening. Now, the under's a little juicy. You can find some minus 130s out there, but I think the schedule's tough. They may open the season with, in their first seven games, play five playoff teams. Not maybe, like probably. And this team could be like 2-10 after 12 games. And I know Bijan Robinson's fantastic, and I know Kyle Pitts is awesome too. But you know who's not awesome is their quarterback in Tua Tagovailoa. And he may not last more than a game. He's one hit away, I think, from retiring. Michael Penix is not that good, even when he's healthy. And this Stefanski, like, everyone's so enamored with him. Like, that Browns offense didn't look that great. And I know he didn't have much to work with, but he still has Tua. He's not exactly inheriting Patrick Mahomes. So I think he did some poor coaching in certain spots, like the London game with Dylan Gabriel. He botched the clock. I don't think he's as good as everyone thinks he is. It doesn't mean he's a bad coach, and he can still be an upgrade, he and his staff over Raheem Morris. But I don't think he's going to make lemonade out of lemons like, say, Mike McDaniel did with Tua in Miami and had all those guys running around, and it was very complicated to defend. I think he had very basic offenses with the same sort of lemons. And again, there's just too much competition in the division and the schedule. I'll just read off the schedule for people driving in the car or whatnot, but you open, if three of their first four games are on the road, at the Steelers, and then they also play in week 3 and 4, Packers and Saints on the road. Good luck with that. And they're home to the Panthers, who won the division last year, albeit at 8-9. But this Falcons defense is going to stink. And then they have the Ravens and Bears back-to-back at home in week 5 and 6. And then the Niners at home. And then you get the Bucks, Bengals, and Chiefs before the bye. I mean, what's the max amount of wins they can have? 3? They can be 3 and 6 after 9? I mean, maybe they win their division games. At New Orleans on Monday night, I think it's unlikely, but maybe. Panthers, fine, home week 2. Okay, maybe. But I don't think they're winning against the Ravens. I mean, I just think it's a really tough schedule. 8 and 9. I know that won the division last year. I don't look out of the division. They have to play the NFC North, which is very good. And then also the NFC East, which is pretty good as well. Looks like some of those teams. So I am not high on this Falcons team in general, but also the schedule. By the way, they have to play the NFC North and the AFC North. They do get some NFC East teams, but they don't get the Eagles. So I think it's a brutal schedule. What do you make of this Falcons number at 7.5 and everything I touched on?
So, Doug, I think you broke that down very well as to why you would take the under because of that schedule. And certainly when you look at a team like Atlanta, these games outside, regardless of who they're playing, you think there's a strike against them. And let's bring it back to what we talked about earlier with narratives. As you said, you're not a fan of Tua. I think there probably is a little too much positive aspect being talked about Tua that doesn't necessarily play out. Yes, he put out good numbers in Miami when he was healthy, but a lot of it, as you said, was based in McDaniel. And I think a lot of the betting, when we look at future aspects, people are going to go off of what is being talked about. And Tua going to Atlanta, playing in that dome, it's getting a lot of attention. But don't really confuse attention with necessarily positive success. And I'm with you on this. As you said, he's one hit away. And just think about it as a futures better. Just because people are talking about something doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen. Tua is getting a lot of publicity, but I'm with you here, Doug. I just don't necessarily think it's publicity that's going to lead to results with the Falcons and that win total.
Yeah, and how many times are they ever going to report negative stuff? We heard from some coaches earlier tonight, Monken and also Kevin O'Connell talking about his quarterback, Kyler Murray. It was all positive. It was all glass half full based on what they look like in their preseason debuts in terms of their quarterbacks with their new head coach. And like, it's like every surgery, right? It's like the team would like to report so-and-so had successful surgery. Let me know the first time a team says they had unsuccessful surgery, and then we can actually talk about successful surgery. So everyone's going to be chugging the Kool-Aid, maybe doing the keg stands of the Kool-Aid, not even just drinking it in the preseason and the offseason. But I think this regular season will get real very quickly for this Falcons team, and I don't think their home field advantage is that potent. So even when they are at home against the Bengals and Chiefs, I mean, some of these teams they have to play, Lions. I mean, they're playing literally like – The teams that are all going to be in the divisional weekend in the NFL, they're going to get them all. With it's a combination of the Lions, Chiefs, Bengals, all these teams, Niners, Bucks, maybe, Ravens, Bears. I mean, it's just insane. Packers. It's insane the teams they have to face. So I just don't see it with this Atlanta team. It's a long year. I know 7.5 is not a huge number, but I don't see 8 wins on that schedule. Aaron, we really appreciate you taking the time. Like I said, it's late on the East Coast. Heck, it's late on the West Coast here in Vegas as well. But we appreciate all the insight, and for more of your content, I'm sure everyone listening and watching will go check out VSiN.com for the NFL betting guide.
Thanks a lot, Doug. Good luck to you.
All right, you too, my man. That is Aaron Moore, the professor, joining us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Just doing a reset here. We are through 3 rounds, 4 rounds, think three rounds, out in Philadelphia. Ian Garry showing some life here. He might have won that round based on the line movement. Islam Makhachev now a minus 425 favorite. It was about $7. So I think as this fight goes longer, Makhachev, this is my handicap, why I liked the plus 285, is I thought he could go the distance here and just keep an arm's distance with his significant reach and height advantage. But every time I look over, he's been on the mat and the octagon. But definitely some reason for optimism for Garry. I think he's down 2-1. So that would be, and then Lou Finocchiaro on the airwaves here at VSiN earlier in the week liked the +9.5. Basically, you need him to win a round. And I think he just did that if the fight goes the distance. Obviously, if it wins inside the distance, then whoever wins the fight will cash that ticket. Rangers added a run in the top of the ninth. They still have two on, so they have 5-3 lead at the Athletics. It's the only baseball game going on right now. First and second, one out. So we'll continue to monitor that. See if the Rangers can, at least after losing the opener of the series last night, get game two going in to Sunday's action. Speaking of Sunday's action of the Diamond, we're going to look at that. I have some plays. Greg Peterson, VSiN analyst, is standing by. He's going to join me live next to let me know what he thinks. And I want to ask him about the American League Cy Young. Schlittler didn't pitch great. Yankees lost tonight, but that was more in the late innings when Schlittler wasn't out there. But he's minus money to win the American League Cy Young. And Dylan Cease is pitching tomorrow for the Blue Jays against the Yankees with Schlittler. They didn't face each other because that was yesterday, Saturday and Sunday, but I'm curious to get his take because I think this race is still open and Cease has a path to getting this award. So we'll break down Sunday's card, talk some awards as well on the Diamond with Greg Peterson standing by as we roll on here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
When we say we are tracking everything, we are literally tracking everything. Bottom nine right now in West Sacramento. A's need to get their offense going, trail 5-3 against the Rangers. So they're down to their final three outs, and we're in the final minute of the main event at UFC 330. Islam Makhachev pretty much dominating the fight against Ian Machado, Garry. Gary's been on the mat basically every time I look over, and he's currently on the mat and ground control right now in favor of Makhachev, who's a minus 10,000 favorite on the live line at DraftKings. We are live in Las Vegas at the Circa Resort and Casino. I am Doug Kazarian. Tonight and tomorrow night, Dustin back in the saddle on Monday. Right now, we're talking baseball Sunday slate as we bring in Greg Peterson, VSiN analyst, via the Progressive Guest Line. Hoops Peterson, we often call him during the basketball season, but we're talking baseball right now. Hoops, thanks for taking the time, my man.
Absolutely, and if you need your college basketball fix, Midnight Pacific, 3 a.m. Eastern, shameless plug for the Coast to Coast Hoops podcast, Mountain West Conference Preview Edition, so we're getting gassed up over there, too.
You got the running Rebels? Are they going to make a run at all with, you know, all their buzz with the new coaching and everything the last couple years?
Well, they didn't sell the team quite yet like Josh Pastner wanted to, but sneak peek, I do have them number three. Okay. I can't quite put them number one, but some improvement here for UNLV and you're number two under Pastner.
Okay, the Mountain West always makes a little noise in the tournament. Obviously, a few years ago, we had San Diego State in the title game, but last year, you know, some teams were definitely, you know, flirting with making a run that did not. But let's talk baseball. Some interesting action on Saturday, how it affects Sunday is always part of the equation. I want to start in Toronto with the Blue Jays hosting the Yankees. Now, it was clear Cam Schlittler didn't have his best stuff, but he navigated and gave a decent, solid start. He's your odds-on favorite, minus money, for the American League Cy Young Award. Now, Dylan Cease is the second favorite, and he faces Schlittler's Yankees on Sunday. He's a slight favorite at minus 120. Ryan Weathers goes for the Yanks, who's been actually surprisingly good. I was betting against him a couple times, and I was like, wait, this guy's actually been pretty good. I like Cease here at home, and I think Cease is, you know, alive here in the Cy Young Award race. I don't think it's Schlittler should be this big of a favorite, minus $1.80 at FanDuel, and Cease, the comeback is plus 155. What do you make of just the stakes of this game, how you're handicapping it, $1.15 on your screen? What are you seeing here?
Yep, I'm right there with you with regards to both fronts. I do like the Blue Jays here on the money line on Sunday, and you mentioned with Dylan Cease, 13.1 strikeouts per nine innings, and I ain't bigger than that. He's getting a very cushy home start here on Sunday against a Yankees team that I literally went through, did the math over their last 43 games, averaging 3.34 runs per game. Like, boy, oh boy, do they need Aaron Judge back in the fold. And for the Yankees, they've been able to stay afloat because their pitching has been so good. You mentioned it with Ryan Weathers, 0 or 1 runs allowed in 3 out of his last 4 starts, and it's always been better away from home. His ERA falls by nearly a point when he's away from home rather than at home. His home runs per 9 rate is closer to 1.4 at home, closer to 1 away from home. So, and he's been solid away from Yankee Stadium, and that's a big reason why I do like the 7.5 to the under as well. Low total, but I'm willing to trust in Cease. I'm willing to trust in the Yankees not generating a lot of offense. And in terms of that Cease price at plus 150, plus 155 for the Cy Young Award, I'm right there with you, especially if the Blue Jays can make the playoffs, because this team has been dead. They have been so bad with their offense, with Vlad Guerrero Jr. being one of the biggest disappointments in the league. Heck, Kazuma Okamoto is the lone guy on the roster with over 12 home runs right now, and they have only 2 guys in total with more than 10 home runs. So if the Blue Jays make the playoffs, it's going to be on the back of Dylan Cease. That'll mean something to the voters. So I think that you're live here with the Blue Jays on Sunday, and I think that that Dylan Cease Cy Young ticket has quite good value.
Yeah, and, 7.5's your total tomorrow if you like both pitchers and want to fade the offenses. By the way, the Nerfy, no run first inning, minus about $1.50. I think that's worth playing. I know a sharp bettor who's been betting that for any Yankee game. He's cashed 9 of the last 11, and it makes sense. The Yankees offense, the Yankees starting pitching has been great. I will say, getting Volpe out of there, Grisham in the leadoff spot, there is a little bit more competence in terms of batting. Although the base running has been very questionable. Lombard has been nice to replace Volpe, but the base running has not been good. So I like the Jays a little bit, maybe enough to bet. You mentioned the lineup being putrid. They can sort of smoke and mirror it a little bit. No Vlad Guerrero in the lineup on Saturday. Little injury. We'll see. But he has not homered at all this season at home, which is crazy to think about. And his prices for the home run odds are like plus $5 and plus $4.75. It's just comical. Anyone would bet those. By the way, unanimous decision victory for Islam Makhachev. It did go the full distance, the full 5 rounds. It was favored over 4.5, about $1.60. And he retains his welterweight title belt, really a dominant fashion. Ian Garry had some measurables, the height and the reach advantage, but that was dead money, a dead dog that I wagered on, sprinkled a little bit on that plus 285 money line. Back to baseball. No Paul Skeens, who was slated to pitch on Sunday. We saw the shirtless video with him and his girlfriend on the beaches in Miami. We've more so noticed the radar gun's not there. It's not the same Skeens this year. I've been reluctant to bet on him. How are you? You know, manager Don Kelly told reporters that Skeens will make his next start, just not the one that was scheduled today. So he will go against the Tigers on Wednesday. But we have a youngster making his first start as a Pirate, his first start overall since June 19th. So nearly 2 months to the day. How are you handicapping this one as after the Red Sox took care of business, got back in the win column in Pittsburgh on Saturday?
And you got the right guy to break down Lake Bacher, because he's a pride of the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater. I actually called a Lake Bacher game or two when I was over at UW Oshkosh, nice. 2 years younger than me. So I've actually seen him in person. He has not went more than 3 innings this year. So this is going to be the wholesale approach here for the Pirates. They'll probably give you 2 or 3 innings, and not a Pirates bullpen that's very good. They revamped it at the trade deadline. I like the pickup of Luke Weaver, Kirby Yates, but still have Gregory Soto out there. And one of their best long relievers in Yoan, he has been dealing with just paternity leave in general. So with Yoan Ramirez, he's unlikely to be out there as well. So I think you've got good value on the Red Sox. I'm seeing like minus 115, minus 120. That's going to be going up overnight. And I like what I've seen out of Patrick Sandoval. He's only made a few starts here for the Red Sox after he missed all of last season. He's giving up less than 1 home run per 9 innings. Now, it is a Pirates team that leads the league in run creation at home, but they have not been the same team ever since the All-Star break. The Red Sox actually score more runs per game away from home rather than at home. With this being a wholesale approach here for the Pittsburgh Pirates, I do like the over and the Red Sox here on the money line with the Skeens scratch.
Okay, so you like the over 8.5. Interesting, because it was a 4-0 final on Saturday. Sonny Gray and 2 other pitchers for a combined shutout. Gray pitched great, picked up his 15th win of the year, 7 innings of shutout ball, obviously scattered 6 hits, 1 walk, 7 Ks. Chapman came in on the 9th. It was uneventful, which isn't always the case for a closer when it's not a safe situation, because Boston got 3 in the top of the 9th, so he was already warming up. Jarrett Jones did bounce back from a bad performance, but Pittsburgh did use 3 relievers. So we'll see. You like the over there. Red Sox twice in the game, and I know this because I bet them first 5 and I was sweating it out. early in the game, they had second and third, nobody out twice and did not score both times. So pretty painful if you had that. But I did get home because they had the run in the first five. So that got home 1-0, although it was certainly a sweat. There was a wild finish in Tampa. Two outs, nobody on, down a run. In the ninth, they get sort of a duck squirt single to soft single to center, then a ripped to right, so first and third, and then a two-outs, two-strike dribbler to the third baseline from Caminero that gets a run home as the third baseman bobbles it. We go to extra, but the Orioles do win in the 10th. So 4-3 winners, and you like the Orioles. You're coming back in the dog roll again.
Yep, and the Rays have been the best team in the American League in terms of win-loss record in the American League, but at home. But I do look at this spot, and it's just so good for Trevor Rogers. Ever since June 1st, he's been a completely different pitcher. 2.45 ERA. He's got a 2.72 fielding independent. Just does a really good job of not giving up a lot of soft contact, and I want no part of Freddy Peralta. In his last nine starts, he's won 40 in a third innings, and he's given up 43 runs. That's more runs than innings pitched. He has not been able to turn around with Tampa Bay. He was awful in the back half with the New York Mets. You mentioned it. There was a lot of bullpen use, and both of these teams are teams number 7 and 8 in terms of bullpen ERA since June 1st, so relative equals there. Matter of fact, the Rays actually have a lot of former Orioles in their bullpen. They made a trade at the trade deadline for Tyler Wells as well, but I just trust in the better starter here, and I do like the over because you did see extra innings. You saw a little bit of bullpen use. And with Freddy Peralta on the mound, I think that the Orioles score runs. So, like the over and a good plus price here on the Orioles on the money line.
All right, my only pushback is I think we're still unsure of Peralta only because, and Matt Vasgersian from MLB Network and Fox joined Mitch and the guys at Follow the Money, and he talked about the pitching coach in Tampa being so good, and we don't really know because Peralta's first two starts were at Coors Field and then at the Athletics in Sacramento, that minor league ballpark. So, we're still not sure. Maybe he works his magic. Greg, I know it's late, but can we keep you for another segment? I want to continue to break down this baseball card for Sunday. Does that work with you?
Yep, I'm all hydrated. I'm all good to go.
All right, good. And I like your alma mater producing a pitcher that's going to pitch for the Pirates tomorrow. I'm interested in the Dodgers-Brewers series as well. Brewers got the win behind the Miz today, so they salvaged at least a split of their four-game set. Now, Scooble's going for L.A., but Henderson's going for the Brewers Sunday afternoon at Chavez Ravine. So this is going to be a lot closer. I think Scooble's not, you know, flawless or whatever you want to make of it. And then we have the Sunday Night Baseball. I think the Astros are the bet for this one. I'll continue to break this down with Greg Peterson. This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Home stretch here on Cashing Out. I am Doug Kazarian, downtown Las Vegas at the Circa Resort and Casino. The A's did run out of outs, so the Rangers finished things off. They've split the first two games of the series out there in West Sacramento. So the Rangers, obviously not a great season, but they're hanging around in that American League West division. They get that three spot in the top of the sixth to take the lead. Then add some insurance, one run in the top of the ninth inning. All right, Greg Peterson rejoins us now via the Progressive Guest Line as we're continuing to break down Sunday's card. I want to start with a high-profile game that's near the end of the slate, and that's the Dodgers hosting the Brewers. So Milwaukee behind the Miz got the win on Saturday, so they had the comeback against Edwin Diaz on Thursday. Then it was pretty much all Dodgers on Friday, and then the Brewers pretty much all Milwaukee. As the Miz only gave up an RBI triple to Shohei Ohtani. So Scooble goes for L.A. He's been fine. He's been good. He's been really good, I should say, but not amazing. And Henderson goes for Milwaukee. Now, Scooble had surgery this year with, you know, when he was with Detroit, and he got touched up by the better offenses. And so that gave me concern as a Dodger fan when they were trading for him. I was like, because they have so many arms. Now, I know you're a Brewers fan there, Hoops. Who do you like in this matchup with Scooble? Sizable favorite, $1.77, $1.80 range here at home.
Yeah, this has just gone too far for me. Getting over plus 150 did put me in on the Milwaukee Brewers, and I always say this when a player gets traded, because Tarik Skubal obviously loved Detroit. I know that he was talking about wanting to retire there and everything like that. Have to wonder if he's just having a little bit of a tough time acclimating to the city of Los Angeles in general, because imagine if you were working a job and you had to moved to a whole different part of the country and had to do so within like 48 to 72 hours. That just affects anyone from the human element. And you mentioned it, he hasn't quite been himself this year. He still doesn't give up a lot of walks, but I saw in that start against Kansas City, he gives up three runs at home. That little bit shaky against what has been the worst road offense in all of baseball, and the Brewers aren't going to hit the ball of the yard. Bottom 17 in terms of home runs on a per-at-bat basis. What they do is small ball you to death. They get those singles, they get those doubles, and the Brewers have the better bullpen. The Brewers have been a top-two team in terms of bullpen ERA in the National League all season long. Now they are dealing with a little bit of an injury to Abner Uribe, so that's going to hurt them a little bit. Flip side for the Dodgers, they've been more league average, and, well, Edwin Diaz has been much worse than league average. That actually downgrades their bullpen at this point. So being able to get this big of a number, like, if this was more of a modest minus 130, minus 140, I could see it with the Dodgers. Just gone too far for me. I took a shot on the over with Scooble not in great form. I like the Brewers here on the money line.
See, I don't mind the Dodgers bullpen until you get to Edwin Diaz. I think some of those arms, like Enriquez, was fantastic today. Two innings, shutout ball. I'm fine with Tanner Scott. Like, he's fine. I'm fine with Phillips. I don't understand why he has such a high ERA, because his stuff is virtually unhittable. Now he's back from injury. Maybe that'll come down, but I'm actually okay with it. What concerns me is, depending on where they are in the lineup, because the Dodgers lineup's not hitting except for really Freeman and then Otani. Those are the guys that, if I'm opposing him and I had the under, live under today against him, those guys got me concerned. But then you just never know when, like, an Edmund or a Kike Hernandez or someone like that. And the Brewers' offense is just nothing special. But Contreras may have broken out of something with a dinger today. So maybe Contreras might have turned things around. So we'll continue to monitor that. For me, it's Brewers or pass with the dog price on that. I think Cubs Cards is interesting. What a nay for the rookie for the Cardinals. Three home runs in his first three at-bats. I believe his name is Joshua Baez. So how about that? Goes yard in his first three Major League Baseball at-bats. That is Major League Baseball history. It's never been done. Cardinals pound the Cubbies, who are starting to make some noise. Many think they'll catch the Brewers in the division. We shall see. But they have a rubber game for them on the north side of Chicago. Cabrera goes for the Northsiders, and Hunter Dobbins goes for St. Louis. Now, the Cards typically fare better against lefties. It doesn't mean they can't hit the righty, Edward Cabrera, but I think this Cardinals lineup is a little undervalued. I would lean to the dog here.
Yep, and when it, in regards to this one as well, I don't think we're going to see Mr. Baez hit three home runs in this game. I'll step out on a limb there. But I think that we've got some value on the under as well, because it looks like the wind should be blowing in towards back half of the game, and this is a game that's actually going to start an hour later than normal. Typically, you get more of a 2:15 p.m. or a 1:15 p.m. Eastern time or Central time start. This is going to be 2:15 p.m. Central. So you get a little bit more there. It's going to be a spot for Edward Cabrera where I think he's going to return to form. In his three minor league rehab starts, the swing and miss stuff was back, getting over 15 strikeouts per nine innings. And when he was with the Cubs during the regular season in like June, May, you can tell that that just wasn't there. So maybe the injured list did him some good. And Hunter Dobbins has been nice and presentable here for the Cardinals. 340 ERA, fielding independence a little bit higher because he gives up about 1.2 to 1.3 home runs per nine. But I think that that wind is going to help keep the ball in the yard. Personally, if I had to play this one, I'd be looking at the Cubs on the money line, but that's getting very chalky. I'd rather take a shot on the under because I do think that things regress with the offense after a big outburst here on Saturday.
All right, so let's go from the NL Central to the AL Central. The White Sox have taken the first two games in Detroit. Sox now lead the division by 4.5 games over the Tigers, 5 games over both the Twins and the Guardians. So a lot of people expecting the White Sox to fade this year, and they just haven't. Really good game today in Detroit. The offense got going early and often, and the bullpen held it down. It was a fun broadcast, too, with Benetti, who's always wonderful. Slight favorites at home here with Drew Anderson on the bump for the Tigers. Sean Burke on the bump for the White Sox, who are better at home. They have a really good home atmosphere there, but obviously, like I said, going for the sweep here. Old school bettors would certainly back Detroit here to avoid the sweep. A good team at home, short price, trying to avoid the sweep. How are you approaching this?
Yep, I felt like this game should have been a relative pick-em. I'm willing to make Detroit a very slight favorite. So if I had to play it right now, I'm looking at them on the money line. Would like to see one of these teams become an underdog, because whoever gets a dog price, that's essentially who I'd be betting here. That said, I do like the under, because you mentioned it with Sean Burke, down to a 2.99 ERA. He has been superb for the White Sox this year. And for the Tigers, it just feels like this is a carbon copy of what they did 2 years ago. They trade away Jack Flaherty at the trade deadline. They go into bullpen madness, and all of a sudden they make the playoffs. Well, now you've got Drew Anderson, who is coming out of the bullpen, now making starts. First two starts, a little bit over seven innings, gives up only one run. Tigers since June 1st have been a top five team in terms of bullpen ERA, so they've really put it together there. And what I think a lot of people forget about with this Tigers team is that Gleyber Torres was on the injury list for so long. They get him back. They also get back Javi Baez. At the bottom of the fold, before these two guys came back, you had a whole bunch of guys hitting like a 215 or lower, like James Altman lived up to his name, and he got out a lot. So that was an issue for the Tigers. Now it's a better offense. It's a bullpen that is really performing. So in a relative pick-em line here, I'd be looking at the Tigers on the money line. I do like this total to the under.
Okay. I can get behind that. Look, I lean Tigers, but I'd be scared. I think the White Sox playing some good ball of late, but you mentioned it. They not only traded Scooble, Tigers, they being Detroit, they also traded Casey Mize, and here they are trying to make a run in the wild card and division race. So we'll see how that unfolds. Speaking of that AL Central, the Guardians hosting the Padres, a little interleague matchup, Bybee on the bump against the aforementioned Casey Mize. This is basically a coin flip game. Now, San Diego has gotten all of a sudden hot. They played Sunday Night Baseball, won throughout the week, but they did lose on Saturday to the Guardians, but had won six straight. What do you make of this rubber match here in Cleveland?
And prior to the game on Saturday, Padres averaging 5.9 runs per game since the All-Star break. Like, these guys that were not hitting to start the season have all of a sudden done so. Fernando Tatis Jr. has more home runs since the All-Star break than before the All-Star break. Jackson Merrill has been remarkable, hitting above a 325 since the All-Star break. Manny Machado is actually hitting for a little bit of average, so that's great. And I do like the Padres here because with Casey Mize, he obviously has a lot of familiarity with the Guardians. You typically don't get that in an interleague matchup, but five career regular season starts against Guardians, sub-3 ERA. And while the Guardians upgrade their lineup a little bit with bringing in Joe Adell along with Nathaniel Lowe, I mean, this is still a team that's a bottom five team in terms of run creation. So I also did take a shot on the under. You have a guy in Tanner Bibee who he's always been a little bit better at home rather than away from home, but 4 ERA, 450 fielding dependent, giving up about 1.3 home runs per 9 innings. Think that there's some solid value here on the Padres, even though it's a little bit of a body clock game.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like San Diego here. It's a attractive enough price. I think they have a distinct pitching edge with Mize. He got touched up in his first game against Arizona, but he bounced back in his second start with the Pods. To your point, the lineup, especially the back half, is playing really well. Yeah, it's fine to lose one. I mean, they had 1-6 straight. I'm not worried about the loss on Saturday. I don't think much of Bibee. He's not Gavin Williams. So I think the Padres can get to him. So I think that's an interesting matchup. Another one that's interesting, I thought Sean Manaea was fantastic in his previous start against the Pirates. Then he was looking great on Saturday against the Nats, but they did hit a 3-run homer that went off the left field foul pole. But the Mets rallied in the ninth and then won it as well. So dramatic win. Now Christian Scott is on the bump for the Metropolitans, who all of a sudden are playing decent baseball, even without their star Juan Soto. And Jake Irvin goes for the Nats. This is a lineup that doesn't have their big stick, the Wood Doctor. I think I lean the Mets here, but I can't lay a $1.75 range. Come on.
No, I can't either, but I will lay the run line because I think they win by multiple runs. Okay. So give me plus money here on the run line. The Mets scoring more runs ever since the Juan Soto injury as well. So like the over and the Mets run line.
All right, good stuff. Greg, you were more aware of the clock than I was. Thank you very much. Greg Peterson, go check out his work on vsin.com. He's got a bunch of podcasts and also a bunch of write-ups every day in the column for baseball. This is Cashing Out on VSIN, the sports betting network. We'll wrap things up.
Cashing Out here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Wrapping up the show here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the sports betting network. I'm Doug Kazarian, and I'll be also in the studio Sunday night, and then Dustin back in the chair on Monday. Wild Saturday, all things considered. You had a baseball player for the Cardinals making his debut and hitting 3 home runs in his first 3 at-bats. First time that's ever happened in the sport. Some wild finishes. You had a 1-0 final in Anaheim as the Angels beat the Royals. UFC, we got the chalk and the co-main in the main event. So Islam Makhachev retains his welterweight belt, and then Mackenzie Dern retains her strawweight belt. They were significant favorites, and both got unanimous decision victories out there for UFC 330 in the main event. We had, obviously, preseason football. You had some wild stuff on the diamond. Nothing too crazy. The Mets did get a comeback in the ninth, and then the Rays did extend the game in the ninth, but lost in the 10th to the Orioles. I just want to thank all the guests we had tonight. Really great crew. We had Jarrett Bailey, of the NFL writer for SB Nation, Michael Calabrese from the Action Network, discussing college football. His colleague, Spencer Aguiar, of the Action Network as well, talking about the fourth and final round this weekend, the golf, with Scottie Scheffler with the lead. And then Aaron Moore, VSiN contributor, as well as Greg Peterson, a VSiN host, offering their best plays. Aaron looking ahead to the NFL season. And Hoops Peterson talking about Sunday's slate. Let's go over some of the plays you heard from each of those. We'll start with Calabrese, college football. He had a couple. He really liked LSU. There's some 18-1s, some 20-1s to win it all. He doesn't think necessarily they'll win the SEC, but he does think they have value to win the championship with Lane Kiffin coming over, retaining the defense. The schedule's manageable. And obviously, he's won wherever he's gone the last, I don't know, decade with FAU and obviously Ole Miss. He's going to have better players there. There's worse bets to make. So I see where he's coming from on that. He also likes Air Force at 6-1. They're the third favorite to win the Mountain West. So plus 600 there with Calhoun as the head coach over there for the Falcons. And no Power Four opponents during the regular season outside of conference play. And he says, keep an eye on Julian Sayin, the quarterback at Ohio State. He was a true freshman last year. There's a chance he may not be the best QB under center out there in Columbus, according to Michael Calabrese. I thought that was really interesting. Aguilar, like I said, his colleague at the Action Network, likes a matchup. Jordan Smith, plus 140 for Cam Young in tomorrow's final round. Young really limped it down the stretch of the third round. He double bogeyed 17, bogeyed 18. So, you know, maybe recent form and how well Jordan Smith shot, maybe that carries over into the final round. As for Jarrett Bailey, as we talked some NFL, he had five win totals. I liked his reasoning for all of them. We start with the Steelers over 7.5 wins. It's a little juicy, $1.60, but I can see that. Obviously, they have some players there. And then Aaron Rodgers is the great unknown. Mike McCarthy comes in. I think the floor is higher than most teams, but I just don't think the ceiling's there. But you're asking for a losing record at 8-9. So I know Mike Tomlin never did that, but 8-9 still wins the over 7.5. We know the Browns are going to stink, and they definitely looked awful on Saturday in the preseason game for what that's worth. Who knows? But they didn't look good. So you can take that away from, you know, Todd Monken, even though he was trying to paint a lipstick on a pig, if you will, and trying to be the glass half full with that. Another win total. So you like the Chiefs over 10.5. Look, Mahomes is back. They might have a running game now with the Super Bowl MVP now coming over to join Andy Reid in that offense. The defense is always going to be good with Spags. Certainly hard to bet against the Chiefs. When everything went wrong last year, usually there's regression in the opposite direction, which would mean an 11-6 season or better for Kansas City. In the division, he likes the Broncos under 9.5. So much went right, although they do have a good defense. I'm not running to make that wager, Broncos under 9.5, but I certainly understand where he's coming from, because I think the division is going to be a lot better with the Chargers bringing in Mike McDaniel as the OC, joining Harbaugh, obviously, who I think is an excellent coach. And I think the Raiders are actually going to be a professional operation. Am I a Raiders fan? Yes, but I still think they're going to be competent, getting Pete Carroll and really his idiot son, who was the O-line coach and the worst display of nepotism. Now they have an O-line that's competent and actually structured. I like Kirk Cousins, and maybe Mendoza, when he's healthy, can be okay. I'm not saying they're going to win a lot of games, but maybe they steal a game over Denver at home. You never know. Titans over 6.5 wins. He thinks Robert Saleh coming in, getting rid of Callahan, who did not belong as a head coach. You have some weapons there with Cam Ward. Maybe the defense improves with Robert Saleh. I can see that. And the Cowboys, he liked the alt win over 10.5 plus $2. I'm not ready to go there. I think the division's going to be better in terms of the bottom of the division, the Commanders and the Giants having at least competent head coaches and maybe no injury to Jaden Daniels like last year, but the Cowboys' defense is still an issue. But if they're middle of the pack, maybe they win a lot because they do have some weapons with Dak Prescott. And I like Schottenheimer. It's not ready to bet on an 11-6 season, but some teams can put it all together. Remember the opener last year, right, against the Eagles? They were right there in the third and fourth quarter. They were right there. The Eagles were the defending champs. I get it. But let's not assume it's just Philly and the Cowboys can't hang, because they certainly can hang. So those are fun picks for win totals from Jarrett Bailey. Again, NFL writer at SB Nation. And Aaron Moore, a lot of his analysis is on VSiN.com, the NFL betting season outlook. Go check that out. The betting guide has really got a ton of good stuff, both college and NFL. But he liked three props at these current prices, and I agree with really all of them. Aaron Rodgers under 3,150 yards passing. Kyler Murray under 3,050 passing yards. Like, we don't know if he's going to fit with Kevin O'Connell. Rodgers, you just never know with injuries. He's 43 years old. I agree with all that. And then Omarion Hampton, over 7.5 rushing touchdowns. I mentioned Mike McDaniel coming in. And I think that's only going to be a good thing. He's very creative. And maybe he'll do some wizardry around the goal line that will cost Hampton a rushing touchdown or so. But that offense should be up and down. I think Justin Herbert's great. He's like valedictorian of his high school class, straight-A student. And he's always has those brain glitches. He has like two or three brain glitches a game, which you never understand. Maybe McDaniel simplifies things for him. Maybe he's the whisperer that we've all wondered and waited for Justin Herbert to get because he's got the measurables, the arm. We'll see about getting engaged and his girlfriend at practice, caressing his hair. Who knows? Either way, I think the Chargers offense will be very interesting, and Hampton's a beast. So over 7.5 rushing touchdowns is certainly interesting. As for the baseball card, Greg Peterson had some good points. He likes the Orioles. I'm on the other side. I know the price is high, but I don't think the Rays get swept at home. I think Peralta will be just fine. His first two starts with Tampa were in the worst ballparks you can imagine, Coors Field, and then also the Athletics home stadium in West Sacramento. I think he'll be fine at home. The Rays showed some life late, forcing extras, and I just don't believe in Trevor Rogers. I think the Rays, they have the best home record in all of baseball for a reason, so I think they're going to be just fine in that game. Some other games I like for Sunday. Well, first, my favorite NFL win total, I talked about it with Aaron, was Falcons under 7.5 minus 140. I think Tua is not a good quarterback. He's one hit away from maybe retiring. I don't think Michael Penix is all that, even when he's healthy and he's not. I think that the schedule is brutal. Just go look at the Atlanta schedule. You'll understand what I'm talking about. So under 7.5 wins. I know 8-9, that's a losing ticket, and it's still under 500. I think too much competition in the division, then outside the division, they're facing all these playoff teams. So I just don't see it. I don't think their coach, Kevin Stefanski, is all that. As for Sunday's baseball card, that's what's touching. I do like the Toronto Blue Jays first five money line with Dylan Cease against Ryan Weathers. Weathers has been good, but I think Cease has been, you know, arguably the best in the American League next to Cam Schlittler. So, and I also like the Nerfy, no runs first inning. It's minus 150, but the Yanks Nerfy, meaning the Nerfy and Yanks games, 9 of the last 11 have cashed because they have suspect hitting, although I do like Ben Rice a little bit. And they have great starting pitching, so I think it's fun, and the Jays' offense is certainly shaky. But I do like Toronto first five on the money line. I like the Rays, like I mentioned, minus 135. I think they avoid the sweep. And I do like the Padres at the Guardians to bounce back after losing on Saturday. I think they have the pitching edge here. I'm not a huge fan of Bybee and the Guardians, and San Diego lineup is really solid. And I like the underdog, the Diamondbacks, first five at the Braves. I think they definitely have the pitching matchup. I'm not an Elder fan, and you got Soroka coming back against his former team. So I think that's a pretty solid play. By the way, Sunday morning, start your day with the VSiN Weekend Morning Show. Morning Line with John Jastrzemski, JJ, and Will Hill at 9 a.m. Eastern. On that show, NFL analyst Raheem Palmer from The Ringer has his best bets for the NFL, and Cole Thompson has college football week zero plays. And then at noon Eastern, Ready, Set, Bet has everything you need for the day's slate, followed by Live Bet Sunday starting at 3 p.m. Eastern, I should say. And then I'll be in the studio at 10 Eastern to wrap up the day with cashing out. So it's all right here on VSiN, the sports betting network. So a lot going on in the sports world. We talked about the UFC main event, both at the main event and the co-main. The Chalk wins unanimously in the decision and retains their championship belts. Handful of plays for me for Sunday baseball, but go check out VSiN.com. The picks page has everyone's plays. You can sort by expert, you can sort by sport, and then sport, then expert. See which one. So it's a really nice layout and get some rationale. And also the articles break down a lot of the plays, especially both betting guides, the NFL and the college football betting guides. They will get you ready for the season. Even if you're not looking to make a wager for the upcoming season, it breaks it down and really gets you caught up on everything going on with both college and pro football. So that's going to do it for this edition of Cashing Out. Like I said, I'm back in the hot seat Sunday night, 10 Eastern for 3 hours. We'll recap the weekend that was, especially on Sunday, and look ahead to the coming week. And don't forget the VSiN Morning Line with JJ and Will Hill. Thanks for joining us all evening. I am Doug Kazarian. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Be safe out there and keep it tuned here on VSiN, the sports betting network.